Hi, everyone. Welcome to Classic Mischief. I'm Chris Weldon with my co-host, Trevor Nordstrom. Trevor?
What's going on? How are we?
Good, man. Well, as you can tell already with the new name, for our followers that don't know, we're going to do a little rebranding a little bit.
We're switching it up a little bit. We're going to switch the narrative of the podcast.
Yeah, trying to be a little more professional and trying to get into stuff, more serious stuff. Instead of kind of the same old do's and don'ts, kind of what we did earlier.
You know, this is a passion that Chris and I have, and we really want to take it to the next level and have some more fun and get some more followers. I mean, we think this is a fun thing, and we really want to make it better. So, yeah, this is what we're doing.
And we didn't really have a chance to catch up because of, you know, we had a whole podcast on the Masters. That was awesome.
It was.
What's going on? What's with school and girlfriend, whatever? What's going on with you, Trevor?
So I just finished my – so my school is a little weird. So we do a 12-week semester and then 1 3-week class. It's awful. I don't recommend it to anybody, but I'm stuck in here, so I got to keep going with it. So I just finished my second semester of sophomore year, so I'm officially halfway done with college and nursing school.
How many credits do you have?
So with this semester in total, I have 70 credits.
Okay, that's good. Wow, that's a lot out of the way. Well, you're also a nursing major, though.
So. Nursing majors. I'm taking the same class that I have to go to the hospital. I have a lab with the class and a lecture. So that was like a 10-credit class. So, but, you know, not the ladies' department's not too hot right now because I'm in the middle of nowhere. So it's slim pickings. Unfortunately, I had to – my lacrosse season got cut very short. I've had – a couple concussions in the past month and a half. I've had two concussions in the past 2 months. So they've decided that I should sit out the rest of the season and let my brain reset and rest. Yeah, it's
How did the concussion happen? Was it lacrosse related?
It was. Okay. So unfortunately, I got my bell rung a couple times and I didn't really heal properly from the first one. I kind of rushed back my timetable because – we're low on guys, and, you know, I just wanted to play. And then, wouldn't you know it, some 6'9", 380-pound. No, I'm not joking. I'm not over-exaggerating. He is legit 6'9", 380 pounds. I just ran right into him, and he put me down, and I was out. But I'm feeling good. You know, feeling good.
That's good.
Chris, what's going on with you? Last time you and I checked, you're not at Belmont anymore. Is that true?
It has been a crazy road. It really has.
Well, do tell.
Unfortunately, Belmont did not work out. Didn't really perform as best I could there. And so it was kind of a transfer mix-up in December. So then I ended up going to a really small junior college in Wharton County, Texas, Trevor.
Where's that?
That is probably 30 minutes southwest of Houston. I mean, really Texas, like middle of nowhere, you know, you see steers and cattle and it's, really middle of nowhere.
Well, did you like it at all? I mean, what were the pros and cons of the JUCO route?
So the JUCO I went to completely was a baseball decision. I got a full scholarship there. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to help you develop or whatever, you know. But the academics, Trevor, were really bad. I mean, school was not very good. I could have passed, you know, I made Dean's List. And I'm like, barely trying. You know, it's all baseball.
Well, congrats on the Dean's List. That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, only if those credits counted.
That's right, they go away.
Yeah. So I'm trying to still figure it out. I'm home now. But yeah, man, I've applied to a lot of schools.
Yeah, tell the viewers or the listeners what's the plan looking like for Chris Walton.
So I'm looking in Northwestern. I applied there. Still looking to hear back. All the schools that you know, Trevor, Miami of Ohio, Dayton.
Okay.
Do you know Denison?
I do know Denison.
So I actually there I'm actually in contact with them in baseball and stuff. So that might be a possibility for next
Denison's year. In my conference.
Yeah. They're
good at everything. They are ranked in the country for lacrosse, and we get to play them in a couple weeks. Yeah. So they're going to kill us. But no, Denison's a very good institution, and it's a very good D3 athletic program.
Definitely.
It's one of those D3 schools that's almost – that could be D1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully I don't stay wherever I go. If I go D3, D1, we'll see. We'll see where things end up. But I'm happy where I'm at right now. So
I'm glad, Chris. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I'm also still with my girlfriend. You already knew that, though.
Nice. Hey, yeah. Sarah. I don't know if you're listening.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah.
She's definitely listening. Don't worry. All right. Let's get to today's sheet, huh?
Let's do it. What's on the docket?
So first, we'll begin to the Masters recap. If you haven't listened to the last podcast, I'll go back and listen to that. We see what guesses, you know, for our favorites. But yeah, we'll be getting Jon Rahm, Brooks Koepka, LIV Golf, Sam Bennett, kind of that Barstool fiasco with Brooks and the rain delays. Next, we'll get into kind of something that a little bit in the past, but I still want to talk about it because it's so relevant, is the Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark, you know, propaganda, you know.
Yeah.
That whole crazy thing on Instagram and Twitter is everywhere, Fox News. Then NASCAR. In Chicago, which is sweet. Then Trevor's gonna have a little segment of his.
I am
that I kind of just kind of let the door open, kind of let him do his own thing. Then something we done before on lunchtime, we'll be doing it again. Our Shark Tank idea, and then our cleaning bell argument, which I think it's just gonna come to me as we go. But
I mean, we can just wing it.
I think I have an idea of what I want it to be, but
I think I have one too. I think it'll tie in with the NASCAR topic.
Okay.
I do have one, but we can we'll talk about it at the end.
Good. All right. So how much of the Masters did you watch, Trevor?
So I watched Thursday. I watched Saturday throughout the day. I watched every day.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing. Saturday, you know, was obviously cut short, so I didn't get to watch a lot of it, which sucked, but I did watch a lot of it, and you know what? This was a great Masters. What do you think?
It really was.
I enjoyed it. It was beautiful. Loved it.
I liked all 3 days except the final day.
Really? Well, yeah.
I thought it was more interesting the first 3 days than Sunday, but we'll get into it. So the champ, Jon Rahm, second major win, 12 under. What do you think?
Good for him. Rightfully deserved. He busted his butt on Sunday, and he rightfully won the Masters.
It's not like he played insane. Like, this obviously wasn't one of the best Masters performances we've seen. Obviously, there was weather and stuff. But yeah, he could just kind of cruise the last 2 days, you know, with Brooks kind of just giving in a little bit.
Yeah, you know, again, on the last podcast, I mentioned that Brooks Koepka is an amazing golfer when he doesn't get into his head.
Yeah.
He mentally got defeated. He lost. He beat himself up, and I think that's what caused the demise for him to slip. But I really, at the same time, it's pretty exciting. Brooks Koepka was dominating the whole tournament up until Sunday.
I wouldn't say dominating, but he's definitely ahead of the pack for sure.
He was ahead of the pack, and it's wicked scary because – no, that's impressive.
Yeah. Not expected from Brooks to do as well as he did.
No, I did not even have him in the top 10.
I expected him to do good. Like, okay, I expected him to be top 10 because of he was hot in that Orlando tournament. And then he was, you know, finished top 2 or whatever and lived before that as well. So I expected him to have confidence coming in, but not the way he did, which was really good to see.
Yes.
From my favorite golfer, so that was really fun to watch.
He is your favorite. That is right.
He's the type of guy. He's like the most likable and unlikable guy of all time.
You either love him or you hate him.
You like him, and then he says some stuff. But I like him. Get back to Jon Rahm. I want to talk about him driving the ball. First off, guy's a killer.
Yeah.
Drives the ball a long way.
Yep.
But his average driving distance for round one was 310. Okay, that's really far.
That's pretty impressive.
But for the round four was 288. Hmm. You know why that is, Trevor?
And why is that?
He's just trying to keep it in the fairway. You know, he eventually got a lead against Brooks and was just playing it safe, you know, not trying to hit the ball too far. And that's kind of what I figured, why the 288 was so low, you know?
Makes sense to me.
Right? I mean, that's what most people do if they have a lead in the Masters. They just, like, hit three wood. You know, they don't mess around those big pine trees.
It's smart golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything you want to say, Trevor?
I think that the Masters, it was basically, you know, you have to – your drive's got to be good. Your drive's got to be hot, because if your drives aren't good, you're probably going to have a really, really rough day on that course. It's a rough course, and it's a course for – if you can drive the ball – fairly well over mm-hmm. like over average, you're gonna have a good day. And John Rahm played it really smart in round four and just said, you know what, I'm just gonna try to hit it in the fairway, I'm gonna try to hit it straight and just play smart. And you know what, it worked out for him.
No, I agree for sure. Putter was good too, you know, averaging less than two putts a hole. I mean, that's fantastic.
That's nuts.
Yeah, unfortunately the back nine on the last day wasn't as fun as I wanted to be. I kind of wanted to be neck and neck with Brooks and with Rahm, but that just didn't work out.
Hey, man, the back nine is rough. The craziest thing was, you know, we'll touch up on it a little bit, but, I mean, that back nine really, like, separated the not the boys in the mid, but it really broke the mold for John Rahm. He really took off
on that definitely. Back nine. I don't think he took off. I think Brooks just folded.
You think so?
Definitely. I think he was one under on the back, John Rahm, which is good, but it's not mass like to win the match. I mean, I think Brooks was like three or four over on the back. So I don't
interesting.
Know. Man, Brooks dressed well though. He had some good outfits on in the match.
He did. There were some good outfits in general at the Masters.
Yeah. Definitely.
I was a big fan of Phil Mickelson's all black,
mm-hmm.
always rocking it.
My God, he looks so much different.
And he was playing different.
He looked like he lost weight. He's got some stuff done on his face.
He looked like he got some plastics done. I agree. But, you know, he's still trying to pay off that gambling debt. So I don't know where he's getting all this money from. I mean, I know he's with Liv. So, I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
But one more thing I want to add about John Rahm is that I was talking to my buddies, and all we kept saying about is next year when he has his dinner, he better have paella on his menu. Like that's got to be a must.
That'd be good.
Yeah. You're from Spain, man. That makes sense. It's a rite of passage. Culture the people.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
I know.
But yeah.
I forgot to mention, you were talking about it earlier, you got to drive the ball well. John Rahm, out of everyone, he hit the most fairways, 86% fairways in all four rounds. So
86%.
That's amazing.
That's nuts.
I probably hit 40% of fairways.
That's nuts.
If that.
And while we're on the topic of you playing in the Masters, I wanted everyone to know a text that Chris sent me. We were talking over the Masters, and this guy, he's saying that I can shoot six plus on the Masters through seven. I don't care what you think. That's ridiculous. Chris, you cannot.
I guarantee you. You know what? I played golf today.
What'd you shoot?
So it was kind of nighttime golf. I shot Village Links, very hard course, 39 on the front, and then I was even through five on the back, but we had to stop.
Even through five. Hmm. Yeah, I played golf yesterday too. Didn't go well.
No?
No. I sent my clubs back home when my parents were out here, and so I was using some rentals, and it was a rough day.
Yeah, that's rough.
But I actually played Kent State's golf course yesterday.
How's that? I bet that'd be cool.
So it was a nice course. The greens were hard. I mean, my putts,
like the ball landed hard.
No, not like the fast. It was just a hard green to read.
Oh, okay.
some of them were really, really fast. Some spots were fast. Some spots were slow. Mm. It's hard to get an angle on the ball. It looked like it could break hard right or hard left. But in reality, it was just straight. And I just wasn't having a good day reading the green. But, I mean, again, I didn't expect it to be an easy course. You know, D1 golfers are playing there.
What'd you shoot?
I shot like a 47.
47?
Yeah.
Any birdies or pars?
So, first hole, I should have had a birdie, but I parred. Okay. And then that it all just cascaded down from there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but no, that Chris, you're not hitting 6 over on 3-7 on the Masters.
I wish I could show you, Trevor.
You know, I wish you could too, because I'd put money on.
Trevor, I think I've gotten better since high school somehow. Anyways, I want to get back to the Masters.
This guy. So
Brooks' average distance for driving was 300 on the first round. 322 on the last round.
Who does he think he is, DeChambeau?
I don't understand why he extended on his last round, because he was doing great when he was just, you know, just kind of feathering 300 out there. And all of a sudden, 322. I mean, maybe that's anger, you know, or whatever it is, but it didn't work out for him because he went OB twice on drive, so.
Yeah, it was a couple slices, I believe, right, on his drives?
Yeah.
He hooked him. I mean, I think in the last round, he was like, all right, I got to get the big stick out, and I got to just hit as hard as I can and try to catch up, because Rom was playing conservative, so that means you have to be aggressive. But it just definitely did not work out in his favor.
But I'm excited now for Brooks, though. This shows that he's still capable. His mind is good.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what he'll do at the British Open and the U.S. Open. So
yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the U.S. Open. It goes Masters, Waste Management, then U.S. Open for me.
Right.
My favorite tournaments.
I was going to talk about Liv a little bit. Liv did really good.
You know what? You and I were kind of crapping on Liv a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At least me more than you, because I mean, come on now. But
yeah,
they balled out. They did. They came. They saw. And they did pretty. They did pretty damn good. Hats off to Liv. I'm really speechless, because I really didn't think that they were going to do jack shit, but they balled out.
Well, the top four besides Rom were Liv guys.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. So Brooks, then Phil, at -8. Patrick Reed, God, I hate him, -7. And Neiman, but no Bryson, no Dustin Johnson.
I mean, DJ broke my heart. He played like shit that whole round. And Bryson played like shit too. But again, I didn't expect a lot of Liv golfers to do well, so it's easy for me to bash on them. But Patrick Reed, Neiman, and Brooks, hats off to them. They absolutely balled out. I'm very impressed with their play. I really am. And Phil Mickelson, for that matter. Got to throw Phil in there.
And then your boy answered. He didn't do well.
No, he didn't do well.
The one
Liv golfer I was really rooting for played like shit.
Yeah. I called it, though. I called it, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
John Rahm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Scheffler, he didn't really do his thing.
No.
He did okay.
He did okay. I mean,
yeah.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. This PGA golfers didn't really show up. But it is what it is. I mean, again, you know, I didn't think it should be a, oh my God, Liv versus PGA. I don't think it should be like that, because it's golf. Everybody should love golf, and everybody love everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And so the Liv golfers that did not make the cut or the top 10, it'd be really hard for them to be invited back, unless obviously they won Masters before, like Dustin Johnson, but
again, it's that Liv PGA rivalry that goes into that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the Masters just operates off PGA rankings.
Oh, that's right.
So even like your guy Adam Anser, or what's
Abraham Anser from Mexico,
like he won't be able to go to the Masters next year because he's in Liv.
Yep.
So we'll see.
So do you think that the PGA should amend the rules for the – I'm sorry, it's not the PGA's call.
Well, the thing about the Masters, that's it. It's an invite. It's not like the U.S. Open or the British Open. So we'll see what the Masters do next year. I mean, obviously, they did it this year because the guys that went to the Masters from LIV did well in the Masters in previous rounds, you know, at the Masters. But now it's kind of in a pickle. So
I'm genuinely intrigued. No, I'm curious.
Yeah. Not a lot of drama though with the LIV golfers.
And again, go ahead. Sorry.
It was kind of like, no one, like the Masters told the reporters not to ask, you know?
Yeah. Cause you know, you and I were saying like, it's going to be brought up the quote unquote tension, the who's better, blah, 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 you know, all the interviews that they did. And it really wasn't brought up. It was kind of swept under the rug, but I think it was a blessing in disguise. I think that it would have taken away from the actual tournament itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that, it was kind of swept under the rug, but I would have loved to have heard some of the answers, what players in the committee would have said. So,
right.
Yeah. There's always next year.
Definitely. Well, maybe.
Maybe. You're right. Cause...
And then what about the Ryder Cup?
Oh, man. I mean.
Because the Ryder Cup is not a PGA event.
No.
And so we don't know.
Whoever
the captain is of the PGA team, will he invite a LIV player? I don't know.
So is that how it's going to work? So PGA players can participate in the Ryder Cup, but LIV can't?
No, I don't think so, because Ryder Cup is not a PGA event. It's its own thing.
So then it wouldn't matter. Okay, I see where you're going with that. So theoretically, if Scotty Scheffler was the captain of America, he could have Dustin Johnson play with him.
Sure. Or Brooks, whoever.
Or Bryson, whoever. Yeah. Okay.
And then Rahm, you know, will probably be the captain of the European.
Absolutely. And he can have whomever.
Yeah, but right.
Louis Oosthuizen, you know, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he wouldn't even be on Team Europe.
No.
No, he's from South Africa. Yeah. But, no, I think it'd be pretty cool. I think that for the sake of the Ryder Cup, it should be the best golfers from America and the best golfers from Europe. I think that's how it should be. So I think there should be no bias. There should be LIV golfers can't come. I think they should have them all come.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited for the Ryder Cup too. It's always something fun to watch.
Oh, what's that date for the Ryder's Cup?
I couldn't tell you.
It's
the end of August, but I could be wrong.
It is towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Also, I want to get into Sam Bennett, man. I talked about him, you know, in our last podcast. And like, you know, he's pretty good. I didn't know he was this good.
I mean, he got the bid as an amateur.
I know.
He didn't even have to take away, regardless of everything that he did, hats off to him. He made the PGA or the Masters.
Yes.
As an amateur.
It's crazy.
He's a junior in college. He's a year older than us, Chris.
I know.
I mean... Hats off to the kid. He really impressed me. And, you know, he showed that the world better look out for Sam Bennett, because
he's going to be good.
He's going to be good. He's going to be really good.
Do you know he couldn't get paid at the Masters?
No, he could not. But I bet he could have made – I bet he made more in NIL money than he did if he was to win any of the winnings. Dude,
I bet he made so much money.
I bet he made way more in the NIL deal.
Oh, I bet. He's at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He won the U.S. Amateur. So he's going to go pro after he graduates. I mean, he told his dad. Without doubt. So,
and that story about his dad, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but it's beautiful, okay. Man.
Yeah.
It's a real tearjerker.
Yeah. So his dad died, you know, 2 years ago. I think it was from Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And his dad wrote, you know, don't wait to do something. And he got that tattooed on his arm. It's something really special.
His dad's always with him, man. I think that's awesome. And it showed in the Masters that his dad was with him, and he was playing for his dad, and he did it. He had a great tournament.
He's got a good attitude. I mean, he's cocky. He's skinny. Yeah. And he still drive the ball far. He's got stuff looking ahead for him for sure.
No, I agree. And you know what? What golfer isn't cocky? Every golfer needs the cockiness,
right? Yeah,
that it's that moxie, that swagger, that cockiness really is what puts a golfer together. Tiger Woods is one of the most cockiest sons of bitches in the world,
definitely,
and he's the greatest golfer of all time.
Yeah,
so there you go.
This is a weird thing to talk about, but I really want to talk about because I just found it hilarious. I want to talk about Barstool and the Masters.
Yeah.
And more about Dave Portnoy talking about Brooks Koepka. I don't know if you are on Twitter or heard about all this going on. Did you?
I dabbled. I saw a couple, like, you know, most tweets with Dave Portnoy, and it's all Brooks Koepka. I didn't look too much into it, but go ahead and do tell.
So Dave, Barstool president, Barstool president,
Presidente,
14 tweets attacking Brooks Koepka to choke at the Masters. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. So the reason for that, is that he didn't play in a tour charity event, because he got injured. So it was set up like for Brooks and Dave to play. And they ended up not playing. But then Brooks went on to play, you probably know this, the one-on-one match with Bryson, the 12th hole. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess Brooks didn't get back to Dave. And Brooks also had to play lefty in this charity tournament they planned. I think that was kind of weird.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if Brooks played lefty and like against me, I still think he'd kick my ass playing left-handed. So,
yeah, it was basically just they had a tournament planned, a charity event to play with Brooks and Dave. Then Brooks got injured. You know, said they rescheduled, just never got back to him.
Yeah.
I think Dave took that a little too harsh.
No. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious?
The thing Brooks did with Bryson was with like ESPN or Bleacher Report, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Barstool might be a little too small for Brooks. I don't know if you agree, but I mean, you know how famous he is, dude? I mean,
he's getting around, you know, especially with him being in Live, so other countries are watching, you know, his golf. And I'd say he's getting more and more popular every day. But yeah, but I think Barstool has solidified itself as a global institution in terms of social media being a big, huge conglomerate. I think Barstool is equally – I think Barstool is big enough for Brooks Koepka. I do think
– I don't know about that, but sure, I guess.
Hey, to each is their own, Chris. To each is their –
That's true. I like Barstool. I'm just not a big Dave fan.
I love Dave. Are you kidding me?
You do?
Love him.
He's kind of a jerk, but whatever.
Love him.
Yeah.
This is his world, and we just live in it. It is.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't give a fuck about anybody else.
He's a different guy for sure.
I love it.
Yeah. And then I also want to talk about this rain delays during the Masters. What do you think about that?
Well, the grounds crew fucked that one up.
It was...
I mean, come on, man.
It was so bad.
I get it. You know, acts of God happen. Completely act... No one could have planned it. But, dude, come on. You gotta get control of your course, man.
Also, the broadcasting. You never know what was live or, like, what you were watching.
Yeah, wasn't a big fan of that.
And then it was unfortunate that like Brooks Koepka was like in at like 12 under and other people are still playing in the rain. I'm like, that was brutal.
Yeah. The weather really wasn't helping the Masters at all. It kind of messed everything up.
Yeah.
Cause they didn't end up, did they? Oh no, they did play earlier in the day. They made up those holes, correct? Sunday morning.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
But still, that's just a lot of golf.
I know. Like, you know? The final day, I mean, John Rahm and Brooks Koepka were playing golf for like 8 hours. You know,
behind
the slowest dude ever, Paul Casey. Oh my gosh, he was so slow.
I mean, I don't understand why they couldn't have said, hey, we're going to move it to Monday. It's been done before. They could have done it again.
I know. But whatever, they did it. So
they did it and it still ended great. It was still a great ending.
It makes Rahm's win that much better, that much like, wow, he really did that. You know?
Agreed.
Yeah. To play in those conditions and then come back and beat Brooks Koepka, you know, the the major champ. That's amazing.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to talk about masters wise, or we can get in our next topic here?
I think we can move on, but I mean, I think you and I covered a lot about the Masters, and it was pretty fun covering it. I had a good time covering the Masters this year.
Yeah, overall, man, I think this is probably the most I've ever watched the Masters, so it was really
fun. And I'm looking forward to next year.
Yes, best part of April.
True, April.
So the next subject we got a little bit more of a touchy subject.
Yeah.
The Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark propaganda. I think everyone at home knows her. You know, the big thing was Angel Reese going up to Caitlin Clark and doing the ring and you can't see me thing or whatever. And there's different opinions on who was in the right, who was in the wrong.
I mean, it's childish, man. Come on.
I personally believe that trash talking is fine. I've trash talked in basketball before, you know, done a little Grayson Allen trip during the game or whatever. But to go, like, when the game is over, to follow someone around the court and taunt them for the national championship, you can't tell me that's like, oh, that's okay. You know?
No, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's called class.
Yeah.
And Angel Reese lacked class.
But to be fair, Caitlin Clark, during the game, did do a similar thing, not nearly what Angel Reese did.
It was minor.
Caitlin Clark did it, you know, you can't see me.
Yeah.
You know, for like 2 seconds and then walked off. And that's also during the game.
Yeah, it's different.
And I'm not saying anything about like Angel Reese. I'm like, Angel Reese is a fantastic athlete. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are probably the two best basketball players in women's basketball. You know,
you saw what Shaq said, that she's the greatest basketball player to come out of LSU.
See, well, I don't know about that. That's
and Shaq went to LSU. I mean, but the fact that Shaq is, who is probably the best to come out of LSU basketball wise, saying that about her just shows you how good she is. She's a very talented basketball player. But she also had a great team.
So yeah.
I'm going to say that too. I will, not so much.
Yeah. Another thing, both teams were invited to the White House, which I thought that was kind of unusual.
Not a fan of that one.
I get the sportsmanship thing or whatever, but I didn't understand that at all.
No, I don't understand at all. I don't know what
they were thinking. Jill Biden. That's
who. Oh, it was Jill. That's right. It was Jill.
So Jill was like, yeah, you guys are both invited. No, that's not how it works. The winner goes.
Yeah. If I was Iowa, I'd say, yeah, I don't want to go because we just lost to them. I don't want to have to see them in the White House while you're congratulating them and you're giving them all this praise. Or do they praise Iowa too for making it? Like, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy. I saw an interview with Caitlin Clark on ESPN, and one of the guys was like, you know, Caitlin, what do you think about, you know, being invited to the White House? And then she was like, no, I just think LSU should go. You know, they did it or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's right. I would want to be there if I lost. I mean, obviously it'd be really cool, but
it'd be cool to go. I would only want to go if the circumstances were right. And in Iowa's case, the circumstances were not right. Yeah.
And because of like how amazing Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are, I felt like the women actually got more attention than the men this year.
Absolutely.
So this year was the least watched championship like of all time for NCAA March Madness.
Well, thanks for taking my fun fact away, Chris. But yes, you're right. Are
you serious? Oh, yeah, no. Okay. I didn't know. Oh no!
It's all right. It's all right. I got a bunch more on the fire.
Okay, good.
But no, definitely no. I think that the women's tournament this year was just better. I think the games were much more closer. There wasn't as many blowouts. And again, the upsets weren't ridiculously crazy in the women's tournament this year. I just enjoyed watching the women's tournament more. Flat out simple.
And Clark and Reese are getting paid right now.
Oh,
oh my, they are making money. Both of their agents are probably like, keep talking, you know, keep making money, keep saying stuff that isn't supposed to be said, and see how much money we can make.
No, absolutely.
Maybe. And that's exactly what Angel Reese is doing. Like a comment that she made that like she wants to go to the Obamas instead of the White House.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like obviously that's something crazy to say, but
that is pretty ballsy to say.
Yeah.
No, seriously. But, good for her.
They're both getting paid. And I think they know that too. So, you know, the more the media eats this up, the more they're going to get paid. So
true. True story.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about? I mean, obviously there was like some racist stuff between these two teams. Like people are trying to make it that.
But I just, people need to shut the hell up. They weren't on the court.
It's like, that is not what's going on right now.
They don't know what was happening on that court. They're just putting words in. They're just, it's fake news, man.
They're just making fake news. I can understand how people could take advantage of the situation because Iowa was basically an all white team. And LSU is an all-black team.
Yeah.
So I can understand people like, oh, look at what's going on. I'm like, no, these are just, like, amazing women just competing.
It doesn't have to be like that. And it shouldn't have to be like that, but people are portraying it as a race thing. It's not true, man.
Yeah.
It's not true at all. And it really – it's pretty sad that people are going to jump to conclusions like that and bash on it and turn it into a whole race thing when it was just a great game and –
unfortunately, the end. Angel Reese just did that. That's just kind of what happened.
Yeah.
And people are just making it more than what it needs to be.
I agree.
And also, I want to talk about how LSU is basically like all transfers. That whole team.
Yeah. Like, LSU on paper, rightfully so, whooped the hell out of Iowa because they're all transfers. They were. I think their size was. They were bigger. They were taller.
Yeah.
Iowa was shorter, but they were faster. But on paper, Iowa wasn't winning that game.
Yeah,
they didn't.
I mean, it's like this now for every team. You know, there's a lot of SEC sports where half the team is going to be transfers in the next couple of years.
But again, that's just the transfer portal flaw. But that's a topic for all other day. I could talk about hours.
We could talk about the portal. Hey, Trevor, I've been through it. I know.
It's true.
I know what goes on.
Yes, you do.
All right. Anything else you want to cover on our next topic or about this?
I think we covered a lot of everything that's been going on with that whole story. Yeah. I just that people can relax and understand that it was just a game. It's just a game. That's all it is.
Obviously, she did something that was wrong.
Yeah, but it's just a game, man.
It's over with now,
it's over with.
Yeah.
I agree, but this is a topic I'm excited to get into, Chris, and that's NASCAR.
NASCAR in Chicago. What?
I love it.
A street race style NASCAR?
I love it.
That's crazy. I would love to go if the tickets weren't so expensive.
Unreal. And I'll touch base on that in a little bit, but I it's unreal.
You know, there's not a lot of stuff that goes on in Chicago lately.
Nope.
Obviously, because it's cold. It's north. Not the safest city.
Nope.
So this is really good.
This is great for the city.
You know, besides Lollapalooza, Chicago is kind of not a lot of stuff. You know, obviously there's concerts here and there, but
we got the Bean and the Sears Tower and Lakeshore Drive, the Millennium Park and whatnot. But this is huge, man. Because this is huge. NASCAR is, again, it's a circuit. It's a tour. They tour the whole country. The best drivers in the world, the best pieces of machinery ever created are going to be in Chicago. And I really hope people understand like how huge this is to the city of Chicago because we don't get a lot of cool stuff like this
at all. No.
This is the first time NASCAR is coming to Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. It's going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride.
I mean, they have a lot to do on the roads before they get before they start racing because our roads suck.
Yeah. They must put stuff down for the racers. They must, you know, I don't know what
they're going to be a different blacktop. Track because those wheels are different wheels. It's going to be hot. The asphalt's got to be coated with something because there's no way. They can't just ride on what we drive on. I mean, there's no way.
I don't know how they're going to pass people.
I mean, there's not a lot of room, and it's not
might be a lot of accidents. Yeah.
It's not the traditional NASCAR map. It's not one big circle. It's a street race. They're racing through the streets of Chicago, going through Lakeshore Drive, Columbus Drive, East Jackson, and they're going all the way through the little corner of the city.
Yeah,
and
Roosevelt too, a little part of Roosevelt.
Oh my God, they really do get. Oh yeah, that little tiny snippet of Roosevelt.
Yeah,
going through Columbus. I mean, it's nuts. No, you're right. There's a lot of accidents because it's a lot of sharp turns.
This also is going to cause a lot of traffic in Chicago.
Oh my God! Around it
for like probably 2 or 3 weeks.
As if it's not already the worst place. Yeah. Like, I mean, unreal.
It's gonna be weird.
Take the train. If you're going, take the train. I guarantee you it's better.
You know, not being able to drive down Lakeshore Drive, Columbus, I don't even know. Probably other streets will be blocked off too. It's gonna be mayhem in Chicago for like a week or two.
No, I agree.
Just setting it up and setting it down, so. And I also like how Chicago's known for street racing.
Yeah, I mean, street racing is cool.
Chicago, you know, you see the low cars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. All the street racing clubs and stuff.
I do, yeah. It's one of our hidden gems, if that's what you want to call it.
Right.
And they're bringing it to Chicago for the first time ever. I mean, again, I cannot stress how huge this is, because this is the first NASCAR street racing event, and this is the first time NASCAR is coming to Chicago. So it's a huge honor to be hosting this race.
Definitely. I agree. If you want to cover anything else on it? I don't really have anything else, but I'm just really excited.
I think that, you know, I have a couple of fun facts, and that's all my segment was going to be for today, was just giving a bunch of fun facts on the different topics we're talking about. But, I mean, while we're here, I might as well say that the prices for these tickets are outrageous, Chris. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a luxurious weekend, this is their words, not mine, race experience, it's about $3,000. And then it moves on to premium hospitality clubs, $867. And then reserved seats for the 2 days is $465. Then just general admission is $269. That's ridiculous. Crazy. I could go to five White Sox games for that price.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got for NASCAR.
All right. Let's go into our Shark Tank ideas, Trevor.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first or?
Yeah, I can go first.
Okay.
So my Shark Tank idea is a little bit, because again, I'm in nursing. I've been in the hospital experiencing different things. And like the biggest thing that, you know, I've taken away is a drug in the medical world. It's called a diuretic, which a diuretic, which is to get rid of blood clots in the vessels. So that means your blood is going to thin. It's blood thinners. That's what they call diuretics or blood thinners. Mm. So your blood gets thin, so that way there's more coagulation. It flows through the body. It gets to different lower extremities of the body, so your legs and feet. But the biggest risk of taking a blood thinner is bleeding out. You have a risk of bleeding because the blood is so thin and it's pumping that one cut and you could bleed out and pass away. Mm. So my thing is, I think that they should make a diuretic. Again, I'm no pharmacist. I'm just a nursing student, so I don't know the whole pharmacology behind all of it. But if you were to make a diuretic that could coat the vessels to give it the vessels, the arteries and veins, extra protection against cuts and nicks that could prolong bleeding out, per se, that can give the more of an extra layer of protection because, you know, accidents happen in the hospital. You know, patients could get cut, they could get nicked, a band-aid could rip off too hard, it could tear their skin, and they could cause them to bleed out. And it's a extra precaution for all of us professional or healthcare workers. And I think that the extra protection of the veins or arteries would be great for a diuretic and can help clients.
You know, Trevor, you stole my idea.
Yeah, okay. You're a business major, computer, whatever major.
Man, you're a genius, Trevor. You know that?
Yeah, I don't know about all that. It's just an idea I had.
Just an idea, man. It sounds good. You bring it up in the staff meeting.
They don't listen to my ideas.
Oh, okay.
It's a damn shame.
It's the only time where they don't listen to the man in the nursing meetings.
Dude, don't even get me started on that. That's, again, another story for another time. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But no. No, it's actually being a dude in the nursing world is pretty cool.
Okay.
Why
is that?
I think that it's like I have a bunch of sisters. Like, I love my nursing class because it's like I have a bunch of sisters and I go to class with them. I hang out with them. Like, they're all cool. And I'm like their brother. Like, yeah. It's a different relationship. And I think it's pretty cool.
Got a bunch of sisters.
What? I do. They're all cool no, chicks, man.
That's good. I like that idea. That's good.
Thank you, Chris. What do you got?
So mine, I wish I could show the listeners at home a picture of what I'm thinking of.
You have a prototype?
So when you have your toilet paper, right, you got a toilet paper roll next to you, you know, after you're taking a poop or a dump or whatever.
Amen.
And sometimes you have to, like, reapply. You know, you got to go in the cabinet, take out toilet paper, and then, you know, take out that little handle, then put it on there, then put it back in. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do, because I can't get mine back onto my apartment. I have no clue how to do it.
Yeah, so anyways, but basically the toilet paper would, like, feed into the wall or to your cabinet. And that it would basically just be like, it would look good. It wouldn't be like what you see at, like, a, you know, just like in a regular place, like at an airport or a hospital where you have that giant piece of toilet paper on the wall that doesn't look good. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So it would feed into the cabinet. And so it would just be a giant piece of nice toilet paper. And then you wouldn't have to apply it. You probably have to reapply maybe, like, you know, maybe once a month, maybe.
Just a big piece of paper.
Yeah. And it would look good. It wouldn't look bad, you know?
That's a hot take. I think we're going to have to see, like, a prototype or
something. Yeah, I wish I could show you what I'm thinking, you know? Like Steve Jobs. I wish I could show you the iPhone. I just, like.
Yeah, well, he made a prototype and made billions off of it, but no big deal. But I do. It is a hassle, like, trying to reapply. Oh, like, especially when you run out of toilet paper, like, I gotta get more toilet paper, and you're mid
yeah. It would just be so efficient. It would work so much better.
No, I agree. You're definitely on to something here.
Yeah,
definitely needs to be a change in the toilet paper
field. That's like the one thing that hasn't changed in, like, evolution as humans. We haven't found a better way to do toilet paper, and I'm trying to find a way to do it.
And you know what? Keep going. Don't stop because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, Trevor. I was like, Trevor needs some freedom on this podcast. So,
you know, I'm not. Chris has some great ideas for what we talk about, and he is the brains of this operation. I will admit that Chris does a lot of work for this podcast, but it is nice to have my own little thing. But my big thing is facts. I love giving fun facts. I love knowing little cool things, snippets of the world and pop culture and whatnot. So for my segment, I think I'm going to go over fun facts every day or every podcast and just talk about some fun facts of what we've discussed. So, like I mentioned, you know, I went into a little bit of detail about the NASCAR, you know, how it's first ever race in Chicago for NASCAR. Also the first ever streetcar race in NASCAR. So again, it's just a really exciting tournament. Or not tournament, it's a really exciting race that I think everybody should be looking forward to if you are into NASCAR. Not a lot of people are, but you never know. It'd be a good watch on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I have some other fun facts about the Masters. So
don't make me regret. I want to hear the fun facts about the Masters.
So I wanted to say, you know, my biggest fun fact that I thought was pretty cool is how the Champions Dinner came about. So the winner of the Masters has a celebratory dinner in their honor the following year before the next Masters takes place. So the Masters, whoever wins the Masters gets to make the menu, and you don't have a say in what the menu is. You just have to and all winners of the prior Masters winners attend. So they all show up and they don't have a say in the food. They show up, eat, they mingle, they drink. And it's a big honor for whoever won the Masters. But in 1952, Ben Hogan, he came up with the idea of holding a dinner after the tournament. And, you know, the big thing about the Masters is everybody wears their green coats if you've won. So you wear your green coats to the Masters if you've won. And it's been a tradition ever since 1952 with Ben Hogan. And it's all just because Ben Hogan really wanted to show off his coat. That's honestly what it came down to. Mm. But if you know Ben Hogan, if you're familiar with his career, he's always been one to brag about his accolades and whatnot. But again, Ben Hogan can do whatever the hell he wants to do because he's Ben Hogan.
Mm-hmm. That's a good fact. I actually never knew that about the dinner. So actually, that's pretty cool.
I think the dinners adds a cool little something different to the tournament. It was calm before the storm, is what my dad would like to say. But yeah. And another cool fun fact, and the last one, this is just a little tiny cool one. There are rules at the Masters for if you're attending there as a fan. There are things that you can and can't do. And one of them is you cannot be on your phone while you're at the Masters. Going on your phone is strictly prohibited at the Masters. You are supposed to enjoy the tournament. You get off your phone, enjoy nature, and enjoy golf. And I think that is awesome.
Yeah. That actually came, 2019?
Yeah, it's a new rule. It's a new rule.
Yeah, I like that a lot because
I think it's awesome.
There's too many sporting events where you just see people with their phones up in big moments. I'm just like, can you just watch? You know,
stop taking videos of the moment and just watch it. Encapsulate the moment. It's on TV. They're gonna have clips of it on YouTube somewhere. Just watch it. Embrace it.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right,
hold on. I got one more. I got one more.
Oh, man.
This is the craziest one out of all of them. And right. I wouldn't even call it crazy. It's just something I wouldn't have thought of.
Blow my mind.
So when you go to the Masters, it's a long day. And you're going to want to sit down, right? You're going to want to sit down on the grass or the chairs. But you can't sit down on the grass. They won't let you sit down on the grass. But that's not even the fun fact yet, Chris. You can bring a chair with the Masters, but there's a protocol for the chairs that you bring. There's specific dimensions you can bring for a chair. The chair could have no armrest. That's the biggest thing. You can't bring a lawn chair with no armrest. So it has to be, it can be a foldable chair, but no armrest. So you're just sitting down in a little chair. There's no armrest.
Yeah, that's, it's like a little stool almost.
It's basically a stool. And I thought that's ridiculous because if I'm drinking beer and I'm watching golf, I want to be able to put my beer down in the koozie, the little holder that's built into the armrest. Right. And enjoy the day, but you can't even do that.
I agree.
But that's again, crazy. I'm not the big boss, dude. It's all the Masters committee. But yeah, that's all I got for fun facts. So again, you guys let me know what you think about fun facts and my little segment. I'm always willing to change it up. I don't really care. I just like it. I like to talk.
That's good. Yeah, that's. We'll see if we'll continue to do this segment. I kind of like Trevor's fun facts.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Yeah. All right. Sadly, it's getting that time. It's getting around the hour mark to our closing bell argument.
And what do we got for our closing bell argument, Chris?
This doesn't have to deal with anything we talked about.
Okay.
But I just want to know your opinion. If you think ever this, I mean, this is completely, you know, do you think McDonald's will ever go out of business, Trevor?
Nah, probably not.
Why? Okay, why not, Trevor?
Because for the rest of time, as long as man is on this planet, as long as people or there's corporate greed in the world, inflation is going to go up, and people are not going to be able to afford healthy, nutritious foods. So they're going to resort to cheap old McDonald's, where you can get a full meal for $8.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why McDonald's will never go out of business, because it's so cheap that everybody can afford it.
Okay.
So that's my only hot take on that. Yeah. Unfortunately.
I have a feeling it will go out of business eventually.
And why do you say that?
I feel like there is going to be a restaurant similar to McDonald's.
Oh,
but a completely different rebranding of it. They're going to sell the fact that it's healthier than McDonald's better. But somehow the price is going to be the same, or kind of on that route. And McDonald's has already expanded so much where they can't really expand anymore. You know what I'm saying? Unless they go
space.
Not space, but like other countries. I mean, they have, but not successfully.
Some countries, like England and Europe
but they're nowhere near as, you know, as the American McDonald's have done.
European McDonald's are better than American McDonald's.
I'm just saying money-wise.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like, McDonald's, America, yeah. McDonald's in America make more than, you know, European or other countries.
No, absolutely.
So I'm just waiting for the restaurant or fast food place. I'm a little hint here, Chick-fil-A. Something like that, where it's going to be like, we have a better brand than you. We're going to take over you.
We are better than you.
Yeah. And kind of just see where it goes. I don't know if I know you said you disagree with that, but what do you think of that take, Trevor?
I think it's I haven't looked at it from that point of view, but I think you're onto something. Yeah. I hope that it happens, because I don't want people to be eating just god awful food for a cheap price. I mean, I get it, you know, things are expensive, but McDonald's is just, it's so easy to say I'd rather have McDonald's than Chipotle or Chick-fil-A, right, the healthier source of fast food. So I hope that one day somebody just comes in and says, you know what? No, this is awful for the people of our country or in the world, and it needs to stop. It's ridiculous. But yeah. But I have one more thing to say before we wrap up the podcast, Chris. And it's pretty exciting news.
Okay.
So we have social media accounts, guys.
Oh, yes.
So we have Instagram and Twitter. I know the Instagram handle is classic_mischief. So just go ahead and give us a follow on Instagram, and you can feel free to DM us about any anything you guys want us to talk about, any concerns or anything like above that, any nature. If you guys are, maybe somebody's interested in being a part of the show.
If you guys don't like the rebranding, just let us.
Yeah, if you want us to just quit out the show, go ahead, tell us. We'll stop in a heartbeat, no problem. But seriously, go give us lunch a follow. Time,
yeah.
But again, it's not called lunchtime anymore. It's called Classic Mischief, guys, because that's what we do.
Yeah. Classic Mischief. Yeah, we're on Twitter. Twitter is just at Classic Mischief. It's going to be good. And I feel like this podcast already, we're cruising.
I'm enjoying it, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, feel free to DM us, whatever. That's fine. I'm excited, though. This is going to be good. Next couple of months, we're going to be doing this.
Yeah.
More on a consistent basis, which will be
good. When I get back in town from school, we'll have to be doing the podcast together, Chris.
Also, congrats to Anchor. Before we close out, they are officially like the Spotify podcast now.
Isn't that awesome? Good for you, Anchor.
Yeah, they were just like a small podcasting, you know, company, and now they're officially connected with Spotify.
Yeah,
so
they blew up. We started with Anchor. We're big fans of Anchor, and now they're on a bigger platform, and we're happy that we get to join them on their success.
I think they have a new, it's just called Podcasters now.
Yeah.
Is their new name.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really exciting. Hopefully we can get maybe a little sponsor back sooner or later.
No, that'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice. But right, Chris, this was lovely.
It's been a pleasure.
Ditto.
Yeah. And we'll be coming out with podcasts every Sunday. And then usually posting them Monday. So stay in tune. Podcast every week. Get ready.
Sounds awesome.
All right, Trevor. It's good talking to you.
Have a great night, brother.
All right, man. See you.